Seated.
Good morning. Good morning, church. Yes, he is risen. Happy Easter to you all. For those of us of the Western world that celebrate Easter today, we are glad you're here. For our visitors and guests, if we're meeting for the first time, my name is Ryan Burgess. I'm one of the members here. I am not Tony Peterson, filling in yet a second time for him unexpectedly. Tony's had a rough week, as many of you know. Losing his mother, and then the funeral was on Wednesday. And thank you to all of you that made the trek over to Glen Burnie for that. I think there was 15 or 16 of us that made the trek over in the rain on Wednesday to support that family. Unfortunately, both Tony and Joanna were quite ill and could not make the funeral on Wednesday. And Tony did show his face yesterday, but he was still looking a little peaked. And I think the kids are struggling a bit. So keep that family in prayer as they still go through the grieving process and help them to get better. Terrible to go through grief while you're not feeling well. So I would like to make mention, if you are visiting for the first time, we are glad you're here. You are our honored guest. We would ask a couple things. There should be a welcome card nearby in front of you in the pew. If you'd be so kind to fill out a welcome card and there's a box in the foyer you can leave it with or give it to one of our members. We'd love to have a record of your visit, and we are so glad that you are here. For our members and our visitors alike, also in the pew in front of you, you'll find a prayer needs card. This congregation is really strongly in belief of prayer, and you can leave that in the box in the foyer as well. And if it's something you'd like to keep private just among the shepherds and the staff, please check the appropriate box on that. But otherwise, this congregation will be praying for you. He is risen. What a beautiful day. On the slide behind me, he is risen in quite a few languages, and it's really amazing that if you think about it, on every Sunday, but especially today, so much of the Western world is thinking of Jesus and proclaiming that he is risen today. So, and in fact, some of the languages I selected to be on there represent some of the languages spoken in the various areas that we support in terms of missions. So, as our thoughts are focused this morning on the story of the cross and story of the empty tomb, I hope you come with hearts that are ready to worship, and that you can be blessed by being here today. I'm kind of a traditionalist. It's kind of hard for me to accept change. We're going to be a little bit different in our flow today. We're going to move edification up to the very front here in just a moment. But we're going to have a series of songs and readings. The readings will be specifically from Matthew 26, 27, and 28 as we kind of chronologically move as a congregation from just ahead of the Last Supper through the Crucifixion Friday. And on through the empty tomb and Resurrection Sunday. So we'll have some readings, and then I'll have a few short, brief sermon comments at the very end. But let's pray together for just a moment before we have our edification time. Father God, we're grateful that you've brought us here safely today. We're thankful for all those souls that are here today. We know that each and every soul is important and that you love each and every soul that is here today, Father. We pray that as we think of this Resurrection Sunday, this Easter Sunday, that you will fill our hearts with love and adoration for our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for what he went through. And as we think of his last days on earth and the suffering that he went through on our behalf to bring us in a right relationship to you, Father, we're so grateful for that sacrifice that he gave for us. Bless us in our time together this morning as we worship and as we gather together this morning to celebrate that he truly is risen. In Christ's name. Our first reading this morning will be taken from Matthew 26, verses 1 through 13. All the readings I'm making today will be coming from the NIV. The plot against Jesus. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they schemed to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or there may be a riot among the people. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her."
As we approach the table, I want to first get some housekeeping out of the way. If you have not received any of the elements, they are available in the foyer, and you can go grab them. They look like these, a little serving of the bread and fruit of the vine. I'm going to start off by reading from Matthew 26, verses 17 through 29. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When the evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, 'Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me.' They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, 'Surely you don't mean me, Lord.' Jesus replied, 'The one who dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born.' Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, 'Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi.' Jesus answered, 'You have said so.' As they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, 'Take and eat this. This is my body.' He then took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" So there are two, this is where we get the communion. This is the story that we remember when we come and gather here at the table together as a family. And starting off with the bread, it is widely believed that this is the part of the Passover called where it takes the bread that had been set aside, that is called the afikomen, and this is broken and set aside in the middle of the Passover, partially as a way to keep the children focused and maintained throughout the whole Passover, so at the end they're actually willing to participate and not have run off to some other room to go play. This is also the bread that is supposed to represent the sacrificial lamb during the Passover, the one whose blood was shed, so then the angel of death would pass over the house and let the firstborn of the Jews in Egypt survive that night. And it's very fitting that Jesus says, "This is my body, take and eat it." He is telling them that he is going to be the sacrifice for us, that we will have life and we will not face death because of him. But it's also a good reminder that we are those children at that table, the ones that easily run away, and that this is our little reminder to stay and pay attention, to focus and be there consistently. So as we take this bread, let us remember the sacrifice and keep this as a reminder to always focus on God and to be reminded of why we do this. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you that we can gather here as a family to remember your sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we can be drawn closer in right relationship with you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Likewise, when he chooses the cup to share, he chose a specific cup. There are four cups during Passover that take in a certain order. Each has their own meaning and calls back to four of the promises that God made during the Exodus. And the third one, which many believe that this is the one that Jesus took, is the one of forgiveness and redemption. And very fitting that Jesus says, "This is my blood of the new covenant, that I am forgiving you of all your sins, everything you have done that has made you unclean and not worthy to be in the presence of God. I am washing away. This is my covenant for you, that we will now be in a right relationship." That this is essentially his proposal, saying, no matter what you do, as long as you come back to me, I will forgive you, and we can stay in a relationship together for all of eternity. And the promise that he makes, I think, is best summarized in John 10:10, in the second half, where he says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." His promise is not that we just are forgiven. It's that we get to have a fuller, more abundant life in him. In the family that he creates with us, the family that he has given us, that it's not merely that we get to survive forever, but we get to live forever in that right relationship. So let us pray for the cup. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the blood that you poured out for us, for the new covenant that you have made, that we may stay in your family as the bride, as the church, and never be from your side. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
The next reading for this morning will continue in Matthew 26, starting with verses 31 on down through 46. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, This very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed. My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed a third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. As we continue our reading this morning, we'll move into chapter 27. We'll start the next reading with verses 32 and following. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right, one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross. If you are the Son of God. In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar and put it on a staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus had cried again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs were broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised alive. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city, and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. We move next into chapter 28, starting with verse 1 and following. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" And skipping down to verse 16, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" It's a powerful story that we've read and sung about this morning, and it really doesn't need any comments, but I've read in a book in First Preacher chapter 1, verses 14, it says, "In thine sermon thou shalt have at least 3 points of instruction, lest thou flock not be fed." So we do have a few comments to make towards the end, and I hope you've been edified by our service this morning and the readings. We did leave out certain passages for the sake of time and flow, but I do encourage you, as you think about the Easter season in your private times, I love the Matthew account, but read any of the accounts of the crucifixion from the Gospels. But in your quiet time this week, spend some time and go back and reread in one sitting 26, 27, 28 chapters of Matthew. You will be blessed, and there will be probably things that you have forgotten about for this way that Matthew tells the story of Jesus' last days in that triumphal week. So what are some 3 simple yet powerful lessons from the cross? And number 1, you can see already up here. Even those closest to Jesus stumbled, struggled, and needed assurance while on their walk with God. I find that very comforting, for in our Christian walk in this world that has fallen and where we stumble and we are imperfect, when I read of all those in the Bible that God has used, especially those that were closest to Jesus, that they sometimes didn't understand, Sometimes Peter in particular kind of ran his mouth when he couldn't back it up. Kind of gives me hope that when I do the same, that God is still going to love me and still be able to use me. And I try not to be too hard on myself, for I know in the great book that we read and we study, there have been so many that have fallen time and time again, yet God picks them up and uses them for his glory. Second thing I'd like to point out is that God's salvation blueprint was a perfect plan for an imperfect world. And I think of our world, and our world constantly wants to tell you that, you know, I really can't believe in God because there's so much pain and suffering in our world. How could a loving God do that? So I just can't believe. But when I read through this crucifixion story, God laid out a plan that was perfect, and I don't understand why it had to go in the fashion it did, and I don't understand completely why Christ had to suffer the way he did. God's plan was perfect, and his plan was perfect to bring an imperfect world and imperfect people into a right relationship with him. And for that, we should always be completely grateful and humbled that Jesus would willingly go to that cross to fulfill this perfect plan and bring our imperfect selves into a right relationship with God the Father. And for that, I am always and eternally grateful that we have been adopted into the fold. I don't know about you, but I would assume most of us in this room this morning are not of Jewish heritage. And this plan of salvation, not only was the temple's curtain torn, as we read about earlier, really if you look at the whole history of mankind and of God's chosen people, the nation of Israel, that cross adopted us into his fold. And we are here today because we were adopted because of this crucifixion story and the salvation blueprint. And finally, this morning, in our world today, some may see Jesus as a spiritual teacher or guru. It's really hard to deny that he existed in the world. History knows that he existed. And so many think that he was just a spiritual teacher. But we all need to recognize Jesus as our Savior and Redeemer. And that is the key of the story of the cross that we've read about this morning, that it is more than the teachings, it is more than the healings, it is more than the parables that he told. The power of Jesus was that he went to the cross and he was the Savior and Redeemer for all people, all those that would come to him and believe. This morning, in just a moment, we are going to sing an invitation song. The invitation of Christ is always open, but especially as we gather towards the end of the service, if there are things that you need in your life to address, or if you today is the day that you feel you need to put on Christ in baptism, we are here to support you and pray for you and help you in any way possible. And if you have need this morning, we ask you to come as we sing a final hymn.